Are you glad to be in the house of God? Happy New Year. Can you believe it? 2022. Amazing. Are you ready for this year? Well, if you're not, it's already here, so it is what it is. But that's important, I think, for us to, when we go through the journeys of life, knowing that there's these moments where we can reflect and project and believe and pray for and look for these times. I love the new year because it's, for me, it's a great opportunity to just kind of reevaluate. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? Where's the hand and mind of God in this season? And just personally, family, in the ministry, and I encourage you to do that too. Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity as we step into this new year together. In worship, corporately, we thank you for the call, the hand of God on our life, on this ministry, on your people. We thank you that our destiny is secured within the wisdom and the plan of you, Father. I thank you for your grace and your goodness. And I thank you, Father God, that you are working, even when we're not aware of it, you are working behind the scenes for our good. I pray, Father, that the anointing of revelation, according to Ephesians 3, that the anointing of revelation and understanding would rest upon this house today. That our eyes would be open, that we may know your hope, that we may know your riches, that we may know and understand the exceeding greatness of your power. Father, we start today and we magnify you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We honor you. Touch the lives of your people. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. We're going to continue on with this thought that we had started during the Christmas time. And just from the context of what are you expecting? You know, New Year's, a lot of people do resolutions. A lot of people stop doing resolutions. Maybe you've earned that boat. Some every year you start off, this year it's going to be different. This year it's going to be different. This year is going to be different. I'm going to do. I'm going to do. I'm going to do. And about a week into it, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to eat better. Ah, someone brings you a cake and it's a done deal. I'm going to exercise more. And you look outside and say, I don't want to drive to the gym. I'm going to be nice to people. And then someone ticks you off and it's out the window. There's a human tendency of setting goals and standards that we think would be ideal for ourselves, and then we get into the situation and find out that it's not working the way we thought, or we lose the desire, or we miss the mark, or we just back up and say, I'm going to reevaluate, and you know what? It wasn't so bad before. I like eating cake when I want to eat cake. Come on, somebody. Life wasn't so bad. I like doing it this way, and we can fall back to the level that we've been. And then we get mad and we get frustrated and we look at the situation and say, if I was only more like this person, I would wish I could be more. I'll try again. But the reality is many times we're putting all the weight and responsibility on us. And don't misunderstand me. There is something we have to do. James says, faith without works is dead. But we have to include the God factor in every situation because true change just doesn't happen on the outward expression, but also from the inward revelation. Did you hear me? You can try to walk in love. And I'm just, this year, I'm going to show the love of God. I'm going to walk in love. That's so important. I'm going to be nice to people. But you can even do it out of discipline, but it's not true to the nature of who you are. And there's a lot of people that are trying to look like a Christian, act like a Christian, do all the things they think a Christian should do, and it's all out of discipline, defined by their own perspective. And they live under the weight of their own expectation, trying to be something that they themselves know they're not. It's almost a fake it till you make it projection, and when people are around, and based on the people that are around, we begin to adjust who we are. And there's a lot of Christians that when they do that, what you'll find out is that it's exhausting. Why? Because they're doing it out of discipline. They're not doing it out of revelation. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 12, 2, to be not conformed to this world. I like to say it this way. Do not be conformed even to the church world. Have you ever walked into a church and the first thing you do is you look around and what are they doing? How are they doing it? And one of the things we've decided years ago at Hope Church is that we were not going to try to create a mold that everybody had to fit in. And part of that is because I don't think it's scriptural, but secondly, it just kind of freaks me out. I've been to churches, you walk in and everybody's wearing the same color. Come on, somebody. Or they all have the same haircut. Come on. Or they all dance or clap or shout the exact same way. And I always wonder, how is that? What's the likelihood of that? If everybody clapping the same way or dancing the same way or raising their hands the same way or talking the same way or dressing the same way. And if they want to do that, that's fine. But I think what happens is people are looking for, give me a sign, an indication that I'm on the right path. And they begin to look to the outward shaping of a mold and say, that must be. I'm looking at someone who I know loves God that is maybe in the ministry. It could be a pastor, an evangelist, or whoever. And you're like, I'm going to imitate them and I'm going to look like them, talk like them because I know they got it down. But the truth is that we have this treasure on earth in vessels that the glory may be of God, not of man, which means the outward appearance is not always the indication of an inward revelation. Anytime you have to start a joke and you have to look around to see who's there, that's the first sign that something's not real on the inside. Let me free you this morning as we move into 2022. Let me free you today. I'm not saying everything goes and you should live whatever you want. No, I'm telling you that you should walk out your convictions from the Word of God and the Spirit of God and let it become a reality on the inside of your heart and say, all right, Lord, how do you want me to live? How do you want me to do this? And begin to walk it out, because something happens when you get a revelation from the Word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Revelation, light. And Psalms tells us that the entrance or the unfolding of his word, it gives you light. It gives understanding to the simple, which means the word of God begins to make sense. Okay, now God is speaking to my heart. I need to stop lying. I can't lie anymore. I need to forgive people. It's one thing to say you're forgiving somebody, but it's another thing to forgive from the heart. That's done by the process of faith. It's one thing to say I'm going to love people. It's another thing to act like you love them to their face, but behind the scenes, to a few, or at least to you, you are talking and running them down, and you are thinking and thoughts and saying things in your mind that you know is not in alignment with what you're saying. A lot of times if someone treats you one way and talks about you different, we call them two-faced. But I think sometimes in the church world, we got 22 faces. Come on, somebody. We got so many different opinions and projections that we forget who we told, what we're doing. And a good thing about always being honest, are you listening to me? One good thing about always being honest is you don't have to remember anything. When you begin to understand the power of revelation, the transformation of God's word, that all of a sudden you're not trying to live a level that's beyond you based on your ability. You are living a level that's beyond you based on his ability. It's a different ballgame. This thing is real. Too many people in the church world are exhausted. They're bound up. They're struggling. They're weighed down by the weight of their own expectation. Why? Because they're trying to do something that God has not empowered them to do yet. Look to your neighbor and say, give it time. Come on, look to the other neighbor and say, give it time. Say, there's power in the process. You don't look at a baby and say, now it's time to run. You don't look to an 8-year-old and say, now it's time to get a full-time job. There's development. There's power in the process. And again, there's a balance to every truth. So you don't want to go to an extreme. So I'm not saying anything goes. I remember being on a plane years ago talking to this one guy who said he was a Christian. And we got talking and he said, well, I don't read the Bible. I'm like, why don't you read the Bible? He said, because I feel like if I read the Bible, that I'll know what I'm supposed to do. And then I'll be in trouble if I don't do it. So basically he was saying ignorance is. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It's not to imprison you. Truth is not to bind you up. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, come on, talk to me, church, and the truth shall what? Set you free. There's a lot of Christians that go to church, but they are not in freedom. They're bound. They might not be bound by drugs. They might not be bound by other addictions, but they are bound. They are living and carrying a weight. But my Bible tells us to lay aside the weight and the sins that so easily beset us and run. See, the temptation of the devil, if he can't keep you from running, he'll try to add enough weight on you that in the journey of life, in the race that you're running, you'll get so exhausted and say, I can't do this anymore. I can't live this life. And you can't on your own. That's why you need transformation power that comes out of the Word of God. That's why you need to spend time in the New Testament, studying and reading the Word. It's feeding your spirit person. It's strengthening you. And when you get truth, it frees you. It empowers you. It enables you. It transforms you. Again, Romans 12:2. It transforms you to be what God called you to be. And now all of a sudden, when you look at somebody, you can walk in love and love them, even though you know in the past, just maybe 2 weeks ago, you would have hated them, but now you love them. Now when someone does something, it doesn't freak you out. Before, it would rattle your cage, and you'd be offended for year, but now all of a sudden you have peace on the inside, even when there's crazy, stupid stuff happening on the outside. It's a transformation power of God's Word. God's Word works. You got to get to a place in your Christian walk that you get tired of the games and all the gimmicks and all the fake it till you make it and all the silliness, and you got to get back to God. Is this stuff really real? Does this really work? And I'm telling you, the truth of God's Word, it works. People aren't perfect. Don't judge it on people. You're not a disciple of another Christian. You are a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Christ. And someone might mess it up, but you're not called to follow them anyway. You follow Jesus. Are you with me? You follow the Word of God. And you stick, I'm telling you, the Word works. The Word works. The Word works. You got to get that so deep in your heart that even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, even when it doesn't sound like it's going to work for you, you can stand on the ground and keep reading the Word. And like Romans 4, Abraham was fully persuaded that the God had made the promise is well able. And you can stand there and say, God, it doesn't look probable. It doesn't look possible. I don't feel it. It's all odds against me. I feel the wind against me, God, but I'm standing strong because I know you said it. And if you said it, you're going to do it. I can't do it, but my life is now dead. And my life I live by faith. The Bible says, I live by faith. I live by faith. I live. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, which means that I'm going to be walking on water that doesn't make sense to the natural mind, that didn't make sense to my own mind a month ago. But God is leading you to a place. Are you listening to me? God is bringing you to a place. God is bringing you to a place. Listen to me, church. The Lord will lead you beyond your best, and you'll be able to say, how can I do this? And you'll say, I can't. I know it's all Jesus. How do you forgive that person? I couldn't in the natural, but God's given me the power. How do you love people like that? I don't know how I love people, but God's given me the ability. How do you know how to do that and stand so strong and not be wrecked emotionally? I can tell you, it's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. We got to get back to the basics sometimes. We got to get back to the basics. What are we expecting? We've talked about, because hope is the same thing as expecting. If I hope for something, I'm expecting it. I don't hope for something I already have. The Bible says, why would you hope for it if you already have it? You have it. Hope is something you don't have that really belongs to you rightfully. That's what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So what are the things that you're expecting in this new year? What are some things you're expecting in this new life called a child of God? What are some of the things that God wants us to expect? Some people are quick, oh, I want this and I want that, I want this and I want that. Some people might be like, Pastor, I don't even know where to start. I say we start at the basics. A quick review, one of the things that I believe we need to be expecting is we need to expect the presence of Jesus in our lives. That doesn't mean you walk around feeling a warm and fuzzy, and it's not a goosebump, even though there's times when the Lord's moving, you might have a goosebump. But so many people think the Holy Spirit is a weird, people acting weird or goosebump or something in a service. No, the presence of God is real and tangible. And you need to expect when you feel and face a storm or problem or opportunity, like we read the past weeks, you need to have that confidence. Lord, I know I am not standing alone. I am not on my own. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. The Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. Say, I'm not alone. Come on, shout, I'm not alone. We need to get that deep within our heart. You are never alone, even if people are turning against you. And sure, you're going to feel it emotionally if someone tries to attack you or talks about you or things don't go your way. Walking in faith doesn't mean that you're numb to the experiences of life. But it means that even when you face the experience of life, something on the inside, come on somebody, the word of God, the presence of God rises up on the inside, and you can, even though you sense or feel it emotionally, something on the inside says, I'm not going to let what I feel emotionally move me to make a decision. Because Romans tells us that men and women of faith, we're not moved by what we feel, what we hear, what we see. We're moved by the word of God. If you believe that, give the Lord an amen. Number two, let's expect the presence of God. And I pray that and speak that into your life, that this year you step into a deeper experience of God's presence. You know, we all have other Christians that we know who love God, but don't believe that there's an experience with God. They just believe you just got to do your best and walk it out, and that's fine. And they probably get to heaven that way too. But I believe enjoying the journey is important too, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you see my point? And if Elisha can pray, I want twice the anointing of Elijah. I think that one of our prayers could be, Lord, I want an increase in the anointing I've been experiencing in my life, in your ministry, in your home, in your finances. Do you know that the anointing is the presence, power, and ability of God? For Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me basically to do something. It's more than you just having a good emotional moment. It's you being empowered to live that life that God wants you to live. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a better amen? Amen? And I just speak over your life that as we step into this new year, that all of a sudden the increase of God's anointing would happen in your life, that your heart would be open and you dare to believe, God, I want twice the amount of the anointing I've been in before. Don't try to compete and compare with other people. Start saying, Lord, the anointing I've been operating in, I want that. But I want to increase. I want double. Father, I ask you, give your people a double flow of your anointing in their life. Let them experience a deeper realm of your ability and your presence in their everyday life. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Number two, the presence of God, the presence of Jesus. Number two, the promise of Jesus, his word. Let's be like Abraham, who was fully persuaded that the God who said it, when God's revealed his word to you, get a hold of it. When the Bible says that you're the healed of the Lord, you might look and say, my left arm says I'm sick, but the Bible says I'm healed. You might feel that you're weak, but the Bible says, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the power of the Lord. We need to be strong in his power and his strength. We need to realize that what we are experiencing today doesn't have to be there every day, that what God says in his word is true, and that is what is eternal, the truth of God's word. And you get a hold of this, say, wait a minute, I can have peace in my life, I can have confidence, I can have rest, I can have the presence of God, I can have the strength of God, I can have courage, I don't have to be afraid all the time, I don't have to be intimidated by the enemy. Yes, you can have all the promises of God, the Bible says, are yea and amen to you, which means approved and so be it. So it's available to you, we just got to receive it by faith and begin to act upon it as God reveals it to us, amen? Amen. Number three. The presence of Jesus, the promise of Jesus, also the purpose of Jesus. A few years ago, a book was written about the purpose-driven life that just went throughout the whole church world, and it's a good idea. It's a good book. People need to know that they're not here by accident. We need to know that we're here designed by God. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good, not evil. To know that you're not by accident, but you are designed by your Heavenly Father for a purpose. And you might be sitting here and say, I'm not even saved. God doesn't have a purpose for me. Before you were born, he had a purpose for you. Do you hear me? You might not know it. You maybe have not discovered it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You maybe have not heard it. You might not know it. You might not have discovered it, but that does not mean it doesn't exist. One of the greatest joys is begin to discover, wait a minute, I have a purpose, and then begin to find that purpose and to flourish in that purpose, who God's called you to be, what God's called you to do, who God's called you to reach. And discovering, wait a minute, I want to begin to expect, Lord, I just don't want to copy other people's purposes. I don't want to imitate somebody else's idea. Lord, I need to walk this thing out. I need to walk this thing out and live a life that makes a difference. That's why Hebrews tells us to run the race set before us. When you're running somebody else's race, you're going to be exhausted. And when you're your own race, that doesn't mean you won't have challenges. But when you're running the race that God's called you to, when you're living the conviction that God's called you to have, as you're walking this thing out, there's a grace that comes with it. And with that grace is the strength and ability. What would cause normal people's knees to buckle under the pressure of the opportunity or against the enemy, for you, when you are doing it God's way, there's a peace, there's a strength, there's a rest, Hebrews 4, to the people of God. Say, there's a rest to the people of God. That's a level of faith. When you're walking in it, and people are like, how can you manage that? How are you so successful, all these businesses, all these employees? Doesn't that stress you out? No. Look at all the things you have to do. Doesn't that stress you out? No. Look at all the children you have. Being a parent of that many kids, doesn't that stress you out? You'll say, no. Why? Because you are doing it by the grace of God. They're talking about you. Doesn't that just upset you? No. Why? Because you have the grace of God, which brings the peace and strength of God. Can I get an amen? Last but not least, where I want to hang my hat, 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring it. Write, take notes so you can remember. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it is saying, I have fought a good fight. This is Paul talking. He's at the end, near the end of his life. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me also, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Notice this last phrase again. Verse 8, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. Do you know there's a reward system when you get to heaven? Come on, somebody. Some people are just hoping to get to heaven. Yeah, that won't work. You need to say, I'm going to do what God's called me to do so I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now there is a store for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. But he goes on to say, just not me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. Here's where I want to hang my hat for the next few minutes. In planning, in setting goals, in having resolutions, I want to challenge you to have a great expectation, but have a resolution that moves beyond a year and moves within the context of what I'm talking about, because this will alter and connect everything together. These are not, even though I can discuss them individually as points, they're all interconnected. Because the Word of God without the presence of God, the Bible says the law without the Spirit brings death, but the Word of God with the Holy Spirit brings life. So you just don't go with, oh, I'm looking for a presence with the Holy Spirit and I'm going to pray in tongues and it's just about God's presence and you never spend time in the Word. You're going to go to one extreme. And if you go to the other extreme of, I'm just going to read the Bible and I'm not going to pray or worship or experience God, you know what? You're going to get into legalism and go to the other extreme. We need them both. Say, I need them both. And that doesn't stop there. When you're talking about the promises of God, you're like, well, I don't need much more. The promises of God are just not for you just to receive it, and it includes you receiving it. But think about this from the Word of God, that God wants you to be a billboard of his goodness. God wants you to be an expression, a light, if you will, that Jesus said, of what God's doing in you to work through you. And so now when you begin to pray and the devil says, you don't need that, why are you praying for that? You can stop and say, wait a minute, it's just not about me. I'm going to believe for increase because there's people that need what I can give them when God brings me into it. I'm going to pray for wisdom because there's people that God will put in my path that I need to have a word in due season when they're in their worst moment of life. I'm praying that God gives me insight and understanding and revelation. Why? Because as God walks me through the journey of life, he'll bring people into my life that needs what he is bringing into me. He wants to flow through me. Genesis 12:2, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. God never wants what he's doing in you to stop with you. He wants it to flow. And when you begin to look at the promises of God, look through the context of there's a bigger picture here. You are not an island to yourself and you're not the only one in the world. God has put you as a part of a piece of a puzzle. And when you begin to say, God, your word says this about me, I'm going to believe it. And the devil says, well, you don't deserve it. It's about Jesus, not about me. Why do you don't need it? It's not about me needing. I can take whatever God gives me, and I'm going to obey him. You're like, you don't need that. You don't need more money. Well, don't spend it all. Give it away. Come on, somebody. Let's feed some people. Let's start some churches. Let's clothe the naked. Let's make a difference. Don't stop with yourself. Begin to see that the purpose of God is tied to the promise of God. But you don't want to even stop there. We're going to connect to this because we not only need the presence of God, the promise of God, and the purpose of God, we got to also realize we need the return of Jesus. One day, the Bible says, he will return. And Paul says, I am going to get a reward when I get to heaven, but not just for me only, notice, but also those who are looking forward to his appearing. Now, I know in the church world, there's a lot of different doctrines, if you will, about, oh, the rapture, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture is not, but the word catching away is. People get so caught up on the little things. Well, if it's not in the Bible, I'm not going to believe it. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible either. But people believed in that, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about the rapture, the timing of the rapture. I've done messages on that. And I encourage you to get them on Facebook or YouTube, or you can call the office and they'll direct or send you the link to it. And we go through scripture line upon line, just not what we think, but what the Word of God says. But I'm telling you, one of the things we got to bring back into the equation of our planning is just not, what can I get out of it? It's, God, what's the purpose in all this? And then say, God, what's in the purpose of it in light of one day you will return? One day you will return. One day. And I'm here to tell you, church, we are in the last days. Do you know when the last day started? In Acts. Do you realize that? The start of the church age, which was the start of the last days. Where do I get that? Acts. Because Peter said, led by the Spirit, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit to say, "In this is the sign, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy, that in the last days." We are in the last of the last days. Do you hear me? I'm not saying the rapture's going to happen, and you're like, well, I'm post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, pan-trib. You're like, say, what's pan-trib? It'll all pan out. You know what I mean? That's just one of those. I'm telling you, we are in the last days. Never have we seen the systems that are being used. I'm not saying are the mark of the beast, but they are the systems that are developing into and will become the mark of the beast. Do you realize that they have developed and working on systems that they can put in your body, and it will transmit a signal to them, to the database, and they will know if with all in line with, we want to remove pandemics. So the idea is that the system, it'll go in, it'll monitor your biorhythm, and it will know that when you are symptomatic before you know you're symptomatic, and go to national database or global database, and they'll be able to monitor where you're at. Oh, there's somebody who's sick. They don't even know it, but we'll know who they are. They will monitor everything. How could that be? You know, years ago when we used to talk about the mark of the beast and the Bible saying that no man will be able to buy or sell without the mark on the back of their hand or on their forehead, that made no sense when you're talking the 60s, 70s, and 80s. That system wasn't around. It's around now. Do you hear me? It's around now. It's around now. They're working on, and I'm not here to get political one way or the other, because I think sometimes people get more caught up if they're a Democrat or Republican or whatever. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, we're Christians. Do you hear me? And the devil will work through all parties involved, the people that are unsaved, to get his agenda. The spirit of Antichrist has been around since the days of Jesus. Jesus said that. And the spirit of Antichrist is not just a person. It's a spirit of just not being against Christ. It's a spirit that says, instead of Christ, study it out. And that spirit will try to take the place. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the many will say in the last days, there's Christ and there's Christ. Don't go. Why would he say that? Because they're trying to draw people saying, you don't need Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is the solution. This is the God that you need to worship. And the person of the Antichrist one day will try to take his position of power. But according to the Word of God, he can't while there's a restrainer. Now, some people believe the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Some people believe it's the church. I don't know how you can separate it since we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Matthew 18:18 gives us the authority. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth. Are you listening to me? So if that joker tried to show up, he or she or whoever, come on, somebody. Some of you get that later. Try to show. So, you can't tell me that there wouldn't be people in the church world that could not exercise their spiritual authority and restrain him from taking power. They can. As the church, we are restraining the Antichrist from operating in his fullness of his power and what he's wanting to do. But one day we'll be raptured out of here. We'll be taken out of the picture. Are you listening to me? And we are moving in the last days. We are moving. I mean, all you have to do is study even the countries. You get so close to stuff and think, wow, this is really looking interesting. And all of a sudden, just look what China's doing, what Russia's doing, as they're positioning their military to attack Israel. Have you ever wondered a small patch of land that nobody ever wanted? God, all of a sudden, Israel found themselves directed by God, and he said, I'm going to bless you in this land that nobody wanted. And today, they are one of the biggest exporters, and nations are trying to destroy them. Why would there be such hatred against Israel? Why would there be such hatred to want to occupy and take over Israel? It's because it's the devil. He doesn't want God's people to have anything. He's out to destroy. And the enemies of Israel, listen to me, the enemies, this whole idea of let's all get along and love each other, it's a deceptive lie of the devil to get you to become passive while the enemy is trying to work out his plan. Because the enemies of Israel, they're not wanting peace. They're wanting complete destruction. Their argument with Israel is their right to exist. They don't feel like they have a right. Generations after generations, the devil's trying to wipe them out. But God always stands for his people. Did you hear me? We are in the last days. And I want to encourage you, one of the key elements of our beliefs is and should be that one day he will return. He's going to split that eastern sky. And we need to make plans, live life. Jesus said, occupy till I come, which means we need to live life and make decisions long term, as if he's never going to come. But we need to live every day as if he's coming today. If you take that out of balance, you'll get all whacked out. If you live with, oh, Jesus is going to come back any day, you'll go get yourself so in debt, I'm going to go buy a Ferrari. You can't afford a Ferrari. I don't need to make a payment because in 30 days, Jesus is going to show up. See how that can get weird? But some of us have gone to the other extreme. We're like, oh, Jesus, yeah, it'll never happen in my lifetime. And they begin to live life as if he's never going to come back. And the Bible says to those who live that way, he will come as a thief in the night. Oh, I'll just wait till the last minute and then I'll get right. No, no. The way to be right is to stay right. Amen. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, you'll read more about what I'm talking about. Notice again this 2 Timothy verse chapter 4. Three things that Paul said he was doing. Number one, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. Say, I have fought the good fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he writes to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Notice this, lay hold on eternal life. That eternal life is the relationship with your Father, John chapter 7. But it's also the life of God, the Zoe kind of life that John 10:10 Jesus referred to when he said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. The thief has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. That's just not a breathing in and out. That's just not an existence. That is a quality of life that God has made available for his children to not only protect them, but to bless them. To provide for them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you realize that even Israel, when they were in bondage and God was bringing judgment to their enemies in Egypt, that all the curses that came upon Egypt didn't affect Israel. They lived in Goshen, and everything that happened to Egypt did not happen in Goshen. You are exempt from the wrath of God upon the enemies of God. We walk around and act like we're just like everybody else. No, you're a child of God. You don't need to be living life just like everybody else. That doesn't mean you should act weird, look weird, dress weird. No, You should be the peculiar in Peter when he says you are peculiar people means that you are cut above the rest. You should stand out. You should be uniquely different. You should cause a little frustration for the enemies of God. You should cause a little jealousy to the people who don't believe in Jesus. You need to cause a few questions of the people who aren't there yet, but are in the journey of open to hear about the gospel. How in the world are you living your life like that? You have peace when everybody's freaking out. You have rest when everybody's up late at night stressing out. I have fought. Are you listening to me? You say, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll drop it in my lap. This idea that has happened in the church world, that anything that God wants me to have will become just simple and easy, doesn't make sense. It doesn't line up with the word of God. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You got to get a hold of the word. You got to stand your ground. You got to speak the word. He's the high priest of your profession, which is confession. You got to stand on the word of God, and you got to believe that you receive Mark 11:24. You have to be fully persuaded that the God who made the promise is well able to handle it and produce it, Romans 4. You just got to simply believe and obey, because all things are possible to him who believes, Jesus said. Because all things are possible to him. This is not for the weak at heart. Oh, Christianity is just for those who... No, this is not, you're trying to survive and you need a medication and you're just decided to use the Bible to medicate yourself. No, this is about you living a life and you charge in the mountain that no one would charge. You running after a giant called Goliath that nobody else would dare fight. Why? Because you realize that the God that you serve is greater than the problem you face, and that you see the bigger picture that the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and you have been sent, just like Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the Bible tells us, for this reason was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Your life is just not for your comfort. Your life is to make an impact in the life of other people. It's to make a difference in somebody's life. If it's feeding the hungry, giving water to a child, praying for the sick, whatever it might be, there's so many options and you're not limited to just one. The biggest one you're limited to is simply obey what he shows you to do and let God shine through you. It's not about you, it's about him shining through you to make a difference. Because there's people that don't want to hear the gospel. There's people that hate God. But I'm telling you, there's even more people that are open. There's more people that are hungry. There's more people that are thirsty. We let the devil convince us that everybody who's saved is that's all that's going to get saved. And if they're not saved now, they're against God. I'm telling you that there is a huge gap between those who are right with God and those who are not right with God and hate God. There's a huge gap of people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are crying out, God, if you're real, send somebody to help me. Don't be deceived by the enemy. We have to live our lives with the reality that one day he's coming back. I have fought a good fight. Number two, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race set before us. How do we finish the race? Verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Listen, there's going to be challenges. No one ever said that there wouldn't be challenges in your Christian walk. But if you live constantly with challenges, there's something wrong. Every Christian is going to be challenged, but no Christian has to live defeated. God's called you even when the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8 tell us that the seed, when it's planted in the heart, and the person gets understanding and receives it, that there is challenges, there is pressure because of the word's sake. Because the devil does not want you to hear the word. The devil will do everything to put pressure on the word. He'll talk you out of it and say, that's not going to really work for you. He'll make you feel like it's not going to work for you. He'll try to distract you with other stuff. Why? Because the value of the word is that it produces and makes a difference, and he doesn't want that to happen in your life. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he trying to steal? The word from having an impact in your everyday life. The word from having an impact in your eternal life. The word from having an impact in your relationships in life. The devil is trying to steal the word from making a difference. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hebrews 10 tells us, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that will come will not tarry. What is it saying? Keep moving, keep pressing. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Because he that is coming, he will not tarry forever. He will not wait forever. There's a time coming where he will come back for his bride. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Notice, you could draw this conclusion out of those two verses. To draw back means I stop believing. But we are not of them who draw back, but of them that believe. Say, I believe. You don't keep believing because it's a good idea. You keep believing because you keep the word in front of your eyes. Paul told Timothy, the prophecies that have been spoken in your life, they'll help you fight a good fight. Why? You got to keep reminding yourself. Joshua 1, 6 through 10 says, meditate on the word day and night. Keep it before your eyes that you may observe and see what you're supposed to do. Then you'll be strong and courageous. Why? You got to keep the word. If you only hear the word, read the word, listen to the word, watch the word, speak the word, whatever it might be in your life, if you only include the word in your life as snacks occasionally, you'll struggle with your ability to believe. Well, I'm trying to believe. You don't try to believe. You either believe. Are you listening to me? It's like being pregnant. I'm trying to be pregnant. No, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You can wear pregnancy clothes. You can waddle and walk like you're pregnant. You can eat like you're pregnant. But if there's no life there, you're not pregnant. Right? Are you? Listen to me, church. There's a lot of Christians that they're dressing like they're believing. They're talking like they're believing. They're walking like they're believing. But if there's no life on the inside, they're not believing. They're acting like they're believing, but they're not believing. How do you believe? It's when the word becomes alive on the inside of you. When the seed of the word becomes alive on the inside of your spirit person. When someone who's pregnant, there's life on the inside. And people might agree, people might disagree. People might say, I don't believe you're pregnant, you're not showing. Well, that's okay, in time they'll see. Don't worry about them. You're not going to sit there and cry, oh, I guess I'm not pregnant. So-and-so, my neighbor said they've seen a lot of people get pregnant, and I don't look like I'm pregnant. Oh, I'm not pregnant. Why do you care what they say? Because you feel the baby moving already. You don't have to care what they're saying. They don't know what they're talking about. They might think they know what they're talking about. A lot of people might think and act like they know what they're talking about. But you know there's something different because there's a baby moving on the inside. Do you see what I'm saying? Too many people are trying to believe. I'm trying to believe for my healing. I'm trying to believe. I believe for my blessing. I believe for my victory. I'm believing. No, you're trying to believe. I'm going to help you out. The Bible says to strive to enter his rest, Hebrews 4, and that rest is the faith. How does faith come? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the word. What do you need to do? You spend time in the word. Lord, I'm not feeling like I believe anymore. Well, that's feelings. Don't worry about feelings. That's your head, not your heart. What do you do? Just keep the word in front of you. Spend more time in the word. Why? Because as you spend time in the word, the anointing of the word, the truth of the word, the life of the word will get on the inside of you, and it will begin to stir up what God is doing and started in you. He which has begun a good work will perform it. He'll complete it, but you got to let him do it. You can't. He's not going to force your hand. He's not going to force and drive you to it. You're led by the Spirit, not pushed by the Spirit. Are you with me? And you got to get in the word and that promise of that word, and you keep reading it. You keep thanking God over it. Father, I thank you according to your word. This is what you said. According to Mark, I believe, I receive. Mark 11, 24, I've asked you for it. I've prayed in Jesus' name, and I believe I receive it. I thank you. I have it, Father. And you let that word still wash you with the water of the word. You let it encourage you and strengthen you. What are you doing? You're allowing the believing. Are you listening to me? You're not trying to hold. Some people act like believing is something you got to try and hold to do. You can't force yourself to believe. Believing will hold you. The word will hold you. I'm hanging onto the word. Well, that is a part of the phase. But there's a process, and all of a sudden, when the word becomes alive, it holds you. Now you're into rest. Now you're not trying it. I feel so sorry for Christians that have yet to learn that, and they struggle, and they're trying to live right, and they're trying to do this, and they're exhausted. And you can see the inside when they're talking, it's just like, because there's no rest. Why? Because they're trying to do it. Back to our original thought. No, when you allow the word, when you believe, it's because the word has come in and has become alive to you. And now I believe. Why do you believe? Have you seen anything? No, I'm not believing because I've seen it with my natural eye. I've seen it with my spiritual. I got revelation. I got life. There's life. Hebrews 11, these all, men and women of faith, hadn't received it tangibly yet. They were part of a bigger process, but they had seen it afar off. They had revelation of it with their heart, with their understanding, before they could see it in the natural. Don't strive to believe. You either believe or you don't. Let the word of God come into you and bring you life. And guess what? Then when you start believing, you're resting. And the devil tries to distract you, get back in the word. Why? Because I'm gonna stay in the rest. I'm gonna strive to enter in the rest. I'm gonna keep sticking with this. You're like, it's taking me longer than I thought. I don't care how long it takes. You're gonna do it until you get the experience. Amen. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, we've all been at restaurants and it's like, okay, this is taking a lot longer to get the food than I expected. You don't leave, you wait. Why? Because you want what they're bringing to you. You want what you've ordered. You want what you've already paid for in some cases. Are you listening to me? Well, I'm not going to mess with it. It's just taking too long. 5 minutes too long. I'm leaving. No, you're going to like, I'm waiting. I want what I paid for. Jesus paid for it. Don't you worry about the time. You just stay in the believing and begin to live life with a perspective, with the attitude that I am going to believe and expect this year and in my life the presence of Jesus, the promise of Jesus, the purpose of Jesus. But also one day he's coming back and I want to live my life with the context that he's coming back and he's going to find you living life the way you're called to live, to be the wise five virgins, not the five foolish virgins, that you are prepared. Are you listening to me? You will be prepared. You are ready. You are living your life. I'm going to speak this over your life, even if you're not yet. You will become that. You are living your life in a way that honors God, impacts people's lives, that you are living your life ready to any moment that he can say, now's the time, and you won't have to run to go do something. You are ready. Say, I'm ready. I'm living ready. Come on, shout, I'm living ready. I'm ready. Make your goals. Live your life. Look at your perspective within the context that one day he's going to return. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.